Good to be here this morning. Are you glad to be here this morning? As somebody said, when you get to be my age, you're glad to be anywhere. But it's good to be alive. It's a gift that God has given us of life. And we're in the book of Romans this morning, and we're in chapter number 6. In the way of review, I would say Romans begins by telling us what manner of people we are. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he goes on to describe how wicked we really are. And because of our sin, God has a judgment, and that judgment is death and hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, the Bible says. That's God's judgment. And we're all under that judgment because of sin. We're all under sin. So God had a problem. He could not bless us because of our sin. I've mentioned to you before that the children of Israel, when they entered the land of promise, gathered together at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim and pronounced blessings and cursings. The blessings on those who stood on Mount Gerizim because of their obedience to the word of God, and cursings on those who stood on Mount Ebal because of their disobedience to the word of God, sin. And so what he's illustrating there is God blesses obedience, but he cannot bless disobedience. He cannot bless sin. So God had a problem. How was he going to bless us? Well, he had a plan. And that plan was to have an innocent substitute die to pay for the sins of the guilty. But he had to find an innocent substitute. And in all the earth there was none to be found because we're all guilty. So God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And the Bible tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man. He suffered our punishment for sin. And I like to make it personal. He paid my penalty. He suffered my pain. He bore my punishment for me in my place as my substitute. He did the same for you. And as a result, the sin question was resolved. The Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died on the cross for every man's sin. I do not believe in a limited atonement. I believe in an unlimited atonement. He died for everyone. He paid the sin debt for every man. Now, what happened when the sin debt was paid was we then were able to receive God's blessing because the sin question has been done away with. So now we are considered in God's sight as righteous. Righteous meaning there are no sins registered to our account. That's righteousness. When he looks at my record, he sees no sin recorded. If you're saved this morning, when he looks at your record, he sees no sin recorded because they've been done away with. Gone, 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 gone. All my sins are gone. Buried in the depths of the sea. Removed as far as the east is from the west. Cast behind my back to remember them no more, God said. That's how far our sins have been removed. Never to be brought up again. Isn't that good? So because of that, God is able now to bless us. And the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's the first blessing we've got, is we're now no longer at war with God. We're no longer enemies of God, but now we're friends of God. We have peace. Then the next thing he tells us, we now have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have a new standing. No longer under the curse, but we're now under the blessing or grace. Isn't that good? Yes. Now, we want to begin looking this morning at some of those blessings. And we see them in Romans chapter number 6. We learned that in 5, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So if we have more sin, then we'll also have more what? Grace. More grace. And wouldn't that be good to have more grace? So why not just continue in sin? The question is asked. Well, we're going to answer that question, or God's going to answer that question for us here in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? How shall we that are dead? Now, who is we? Saved people. How shall we that are dead to sin? What does it mean to be dead to sin? Well, you're no longer under its control. You're no longer under its influence. It no longer has power over you. If a person's dead and you pinch him, is he going to respond? What's he going to do? Nothing. What can he do? Nothing. A person who's dead can't do anything. Is that right? So if you're dead to sin, then you're no longer responsive to sin. Pardon? Well, if you're dead, you can't. Can you? No, you can't. Not if you're dead. But when you're dead, you're alive to whom? You're alive to God. Dead to sin, alive. By the way, you can't be alive to both. No man can serve two masters. It's one or the other. Now, when we were born the first time, we were born slaves to sin. But we're going to learn here that Jesus died on the cross, became dead to sin, and because he became dead to sin, we became dead to sin. Let's read that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, that's a rhetorical question. And the answer is you can't. It is not possible. You cannot do it. If you're dead to sin, you cannot come under the influence of that sin. If you're alive unto God, you're under his influence. Now, I notice some folks have questions, and I'm glad you have questions because we're going to answer those questions for you from the Bible. Look at verse 3. Know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, let me say this off the top. Baptism does not accomplish this or anything else. Baptism is simply a testimony, an outward testimony of what's already taken place inwardly in the individual. When a person gets baptized, what we're saying is we believe that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That's the picture in baptism. It also means this: when a person gets baptized, when Jesus died, the old man died. The old man is dead. And now there is a new man alive to serve Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And I usually say this: buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in newness of life. What a beautiful word life is. Life. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. What does that mean? Well, let's read on. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, who's buried with him? We are, those of us who are saved, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Why should we walk in newness of life? Because we have new life. Brand new life. The word there is kenos, which means a life that did not previously exist in us is now there. And when did that take place? It's not a process. It is an event. It took place the instant you trusted Christ as Savior. You died. The old man died. And a new man was born. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. That's what we're talking about here. The old man died. There's a new man alive to serve Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness. Like as Christ. How was Christ raised from the dead? By that, what I mean is, what kind of life does he live after he comes out of the grave? A life that is, what's the word I want to use? Pleasing to God. Let's use another word. A holy life. What does it mean to be holy? Somebody says without sin, and that's a part of it. But there's more to it than that. Anybody else have an idea? What does it mean to be holy? Okay, we're getting there. Let's go back to the first time the word holy is used in the Bible. And that's back in the book of Exodus, when Moses met Jesus there at the burning bush. And God said to him, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. The dirt was holy. What made it holy? It was set apart for God's use. God had a purpose in that piece of ground. When the tabernacle was built and the utensils were placed in the tabernacle, every one of those utensils, the knives, the forks, the spoons, whatever the utensil was, it was declared by God to be holy. an inanimate object. That's another word. We're getting there. Okay? What it means is set apart for God's use. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we're commanded to be holy. What does it mean? It means set apart for God's use. And I'm going to add one word, an adverb. Exclusively for God's use. That's what holy means. I am exclusively for God's use. It's not for God's use plus. It's for God's use only. That's what sanctified means. That's what saint means. Set apart for God's use. But holy adds exclusiveness to that. That's why God is the same yesterday and today and forever, because he is holy. Exclusively who he is. He never changes. Does that make sense? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, what is our walk? That's how we present ourselves outwardly to other people. That's our day-to-day behavior, how we live out our life before other people. That's our walk. How should we walk? In newness of life. For, verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If we indeed died, as we testified when we got baptized, then we will also live as we testified when we came up out of the water. A new life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, the Bible says. By that, what that means is we have no life apart from Jesus Christ. He is our life. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. The old man. Now, who is the old man? That's the man that was born the first time. Born of Adam. Born with a fallen nature. Born in sin. Who can do nothing but sin, as we learned earlier in Romans. That's the old man. But the old man is what? Dead. Crucified. If he's crucified, he's what? Dead. If he's dead, what can he do? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The body of sin. Now, that's an interesting phrase. the body of sin. What that means is sin dwells where? In the body. Sin dwells in the body. Where's the old man dwell? In the body. Now, when I got saved, did my body change? No. The old man was there before I got saved, and the old man is still there after I got saved, but he's where? In the body. But I don't live in the body. If you're saved, you live in the Spirit. Look with me. Let's turn there quickly. Romans chapter 8. Let's read it. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. You're not where? In the body. You are not in the flesh, but where? In the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you do not live in the body. You live where? In the Spirit. Is that what it says? Is that what it means? It means exactly what it says. So when I got saved, I moved out of one house and moved into another house. Let's finish verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you're not saved if you don't have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, where do you live? In the Spirit, not in the flesh. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Why is it dead? Because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is the absence of sin. Sin is transgression of the law. If there's no transgression, then you have righteousness. Preacher, you make it sound like it's either black or white. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, because that's what it is. It's not gray. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Doesn't say he ought to be. Doesn't say he could be. What does it say? He is freed from sin. I'm no longer under the power of sin. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. Now, if we be dead with Christ, dead to sin, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In newness of life, his life, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. Not every Sunday, as some of our friends would have us believe, but he died unto sin how many times? That doesn't mean once upon a time. That means once and for all. Amen. That means never to die again. That's the kind of life he came out of that grave with. That's the kind of life we were given. His life. I'll live as long as Jesus does. If you're saved, you live as long as Jesus does. Because his life is our life. I'm glad it doesn't depend on me. Aren't you? Now, I'm going to go to another passage. You turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2. Beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means made alive. You hath he quickened. Now who's you? Those of us who have been justified by faith, we now receive new life. You hath he quickened who were dead. We were dead to God in trespasses and sins. You can't be alive to God and alive to sin both. So he made us alive to himself, and we died to sin at the time. You hath he quickened who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked. Before we got saved, what did we portray to other people? A lost person. We lived like a lost person. We acted like a lost person. That's how we walked. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Satan? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit still works in the lost person. He doesn't work in me. If you're saved, he doesn't work in you. Now, he may work on you, but he doesn't work in you. Are you ever tempted to do wrong? That's Satan working on you. I know he works on me. I would assume he works on you from time to time. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. That's how we lived. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Interesting word, nature. What does that mean? We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does that word nature mean? Natural. Predisposition? Okay, that's a word that would apply. Pardon?
We were born that way.
Okay, now, let's combine those two. You have a certain disposition because of your origin. A certain mode of behavior because of your origin. What's the origin of the lost person?
Another lost person.
He came from where? Came from Adam. Born in sin. Amen? So we were by nature the children of wrath. But now, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to cut this short. But I'm just getting to the part where I'm going to start to teach the lesson. But God expects us to walk in newness of life. Right? How are we going to do that if we have the old nature? Okay, he says, let me ask you, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Those are rhetorical questions, aren't they? Neither can ye do good that are accustomed to doing evil. So can you choose to do good? Not with the old nature. That nature is bound to sin. If you're going to choose to do good, you're going to have what? Another nature. And that's what happens when you get saved. You receive another nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us we become partakers of the divine nature. That's God's nature. I no longer have the Adamic nature. I lost that the day I got saved. I was born into God's family and I received His nature. Partakers or sharers of the divine nature. So, based on our definition of nature, how should one expect me to behave if I'm a Christian? Holy. Exactly. That means that 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, where should you expect me to be? 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, where should you expect me to be? Here. Why? Because I have a new nature. Paul said it like this, the things that I used to want to do, I don't want to do anymore. And the things that used to didn't interest me, now those pique my interest. Those are the things I want to do. What changed? His nature. My question this morning is that your experience? Have you experienced a change in your nature? Do you now desire the things of God? Do you have a desire to read your Bible? Do you have a desire to pray? Do you have a desire to go to church? Do you have a desire to know more about God? Do you have a desire to walk closer to God? Or is your desire, I can't wait till this service is over so I can go do whatever it is you want to do? What's your nature? Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, made us alive with Christ. Did you get that? Made us alive with or along with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. We all know that verse. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we usually quit right there, but we shouldn't. That next verse is most important. For we are His workmanship. The word workmanship means we're His work product. Not our product, His product. We are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new because of a new nature. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What did He create us for? What's His purpose in creating us? That we would walk in newness of life.
It's true.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. That's God's purpose in saving us. Are we fulfilling that purpose? Perhaps not as well as we would like, or not as well as God would like. I know that's true in my case. How about yours? I thank God for the life He's given me. I thank God for the joy that I have in my heart. Amen? Has He given you joy in your heart? There's a song that says, I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with perfect harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I'm so thankful He saved me. In the song He's given me. You know, God's people ought to be a happy people. We have so much to be thankful for. We don't thank Him enough.